you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is writing to a church that has some really serious problems. They have problems doctrinally, they have problems behaviorally, they have problems in their relationships with one another. They've got all kinds of problems. And they're bad problems. They're not little things that need a little tweaking. They're big problems that need serious repentance. And so Paul addresses several of those, beginning in chapter 6. This is God's word. "If any of you has a dispute against another, how dare you take it to court before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or don't you know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the trivial cases? Don't you know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? So if you have such matters, do you appoint as your judges those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is not one wise person among you who is able to arbitrate between fellow believers? Instead, brother goes to court against brother, and that before unbelievers. As it is, to have legal disputes against one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do this to brothers and sisters. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will do away with both of them. However, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are a part of Christ's body? So should I take a part of Christ's body and make it part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For Scripture says the two will become one flesh. But anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul writes in this section about, first of all, the fact that you had people who found money more important than people. And so they were suing each other because some were cheating each other. He doesn't say, hey, you're not being cheated. He says, it's better to be cheated than to ruin your witness when you're trying to show the community what the body of Christ looks like. When you're trying to be in the area where you live, a group of people who display such love for one another that others will say, what's going on there? How is it that these people all love each other like that? Instead, he says, you're going to court against one another. You're going to unbelievers who are the judges and asking them to work out your problems. The fact that you are going to court against other believers means you've already lost. You're hoping to win in court. If you go to court, you've lost. That's what he says. If you take this matter to the courts, to have legal disputes against one another is already a defeat for you, verse 7. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? So, well, I'm not going to let anybody take advantage of me. Well, that's Christ-like. And I'm being sarcastic. Is that really following Jesus to insist that you're going to make sure nobody gets the upper hand in the business deal with you? I was sitting in the living room earlier this week thinking about some of the times when I, let's say, failed to collect what was owed. And I thought about how merciful God has been to me. Jesus paid my debt in full. He didn't say, I'm going to make sure you pay up, because I had a debt I couldn't pay. I owe him everything. And so he says, now, what I want you to do is show mercy to others. Does that mean we're supposed to be stupid and just get in line to be taken advantage of? No. But it does mean that if somebody, especially someone who claims the name of Christ, is taking advantage of us, lies to us, doesn't pay what is owed or tries to get more from us than is fair, it's better to be wronged. Now you can say, excuse me, but I think you made a mistake here. You see, this is your handwriting and it says this is how much the final bill's supposed to be. You remember this? So how about if I just pay you this amount? And sometimes people say, oh my gosh, you're right, I'm sorry. And end of story. But I remember, I forgive, but I don't have to forget. I remember a person who makes much of being a Christian businessman. And he turned out to be very much a fraud. He's got the ichthus on his business sign out in front of his place of business. And the mistake he made nearly cost my oldest son his life. And so I went to see him and confronted him about the fact that he had dealt fraudulently and lied. And he lied some more. And I said, well, let me tell you. I said, obviously, I could sue you, but the Bible says that I'm not to sue someone who claims to be my brother in Christ. I don't believe you are my brother in Christ because God promises that all liars will spend forever in hell, and you need to know that. And I hope you're going to repent. But I want you to know I'm not going to pursue this. I'm going to leave it with God and let him deal with you. Because you see, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But I'll tell you this. The reason I didn't sue that guy was not because I didn't think I could win. It was not because I thought he was my brother in Christ. It was because his public witness and my public witness would have brought shame on the name of Jesus when we ended up in court. And the bigger the suit would have been, the more likely it would have been in the papers. Now, I'll tell you something. God has more than made up to us. He not only preserved our son's life, but God has blessed us 1,000 times over. And yet, I'm the one who's in debt to God. I owe him everything. And if I keep that in mind, it makes it easier to do what this says. Don't sue your brothers in court. Instead, if there's a problem, take it to the church. Bring it before the believers and ask those within the church who are in positions of leadership to please help us sort this thing out. I've seen situations where Christians had conflict and arbitration with a Christian arbitrator brought peace. That honors the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over 12 books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand.
Now, in verse 5, Paul says, as he's describing the conflicts in the church, he says, I say this to your shame. He says, the fact I'm having to talk to you about this is a shameful thing. But the reason is because you've got people who claim to be Christians totally failing to see the bigger picture. He says, the reason you should be able to work out these conflicts internally is because we're going to judge the earth. We're going to judge angels. I want to ask you, do you really envision yourself in that context? I mean, a lot of people, I think, really just hope that they're going to get into heaven by the skin of their teeth. God has great things planned for his children. Those who are faithful will be rewarded with greater responsibility. Don't you know the saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the trivial cases? Don't you know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? You know, that kind of puts in context the disagreements we have with one another. I mean, how big a deal is it? How big a deal is this, really? The stuff that causes people to get really bent out of shape in this life, it's because they're not thinking of eternity. And the reason we need to be more concerned about our witness than we are about our wallet is because somebody's forever could be impacted by how you shine for Jesus. So, verse 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? The unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom. That's God's word. Don't be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males. No thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Thanks be to God. Do you consider that? Paul gives a list here, and it's not an exhaustive list. But it's things like this. If this is a picture of what you're like, and this is a picture of what they used to be like, such were some of you. You used to be like this. But you can't just get forgiven and stay like that. You were washed. You were sanctified. That is, made holy, set apart. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Whatever you've done, if you come to the cross, the slate is wiped clean. But do not think for a minute that you can continue to live in that sin and it's okay because you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven, but you cannot continue to live in that sin. Then in verse 12, Paul responds to the fact that some people want to say, well, you know, it really doesn't matter what I do with my body. Everything's permissible. You know, God saved my spirit. My body's just going to rot in the ground. No, Paul is going to make it very clear. Our spirit is not the only thing that's going to be around forever. God is going to resurrect our bodies, and our bodies already belong to him. So folks say, everything is permissible for me. And God responds through the apostle, but not everything is beneficial. There are a lot of things in your life that you may be able to do and still go to heaven, but it's not good for you. And it's not good for your witness. It's not beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, you say, but I will not be mastered by anything. Folks who want to work at the ranch, we tell them they have to give up alcohol. And the reason is because so many of the kids who come to the ranch come from families where alcohol has been a huge problem. And so we're not saying if you want to be a Christian, you need to give up alcohol. We're saying if you want to work at the ranch, you've got to give up alcohol. Well, for a person who doesn't have a problem with alcohol, that's just not a problem. If somebody told me I could never have any more orange juice the rest of my life, I'd miss it because I have orange juice every morning. I love orange juice. But if in order to minister for the Lord, I had to give up orange juice for the rest of my life, no problem. You know why? Because I'm not addicted to orange juice. I just like it. Well, it does good things for me. It's got vitamin C. I drink the kind with pulp, lots of pulp. So it's beneficial. It's not like drinking some artificially sweetened orange juice. Yeah, it's fine. But could I give it up? Of course. If I had to give up meat, Paul says if eating meat causes my brother to stumble, I won't ever eat meat again. Folks, if there's something in your life that you just feel you couldn't do without, that's a problem. Is it okay to thank God for the benefits of these various things? Are we trying to give you a list of things that you've got to get rid of in your life? No, but please take this seriously. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. Go with what's beneficial, including food. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, you say. Paul responds, and God will do away with both of them. You understand? The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are part of Christ's body? Let that sink in. Your body is a part of Christ's body. So should I take a part of Christ's body and make it a part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For Scripture says the two will become one flesh. We need to take more seriously what happens when two bodies are joined together. It's something God designed. It's something holy. It is filled with spiritual significance. That's why even the pagans throughout history have often used sexual behavior as a means of worship of the demonic. Part of their worship is sexual behavior. That is not by accident. That is because what we do with our bodies either honors God or dishonors him. Anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now think about that. Physical union is a picture of the spiritual union we have with Christ. That is glorious. To be one with the Lord in spirit. God has called us to something so much more wonderful than what our minds usually contemplate. In light of that truth, in light of the fact that our body belongs to him and is a part of Christ's body, and that we have been joined, those who are truly born again have been joined with the Lord as one spirit with him. In light of that, flee sexual immorality. He doesn't suggest that, you know, you try not to go too far. He says, run the other way. Run the other way. Flee from it. Remember Joseph? When Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him, he ran out of the house. Yeah, well, it didn't end up well. He ended up in prison. It ended up really well. He ended up prime minister. Do the right thing. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. All sins are the same. Nope, they're not. This is an example of where God tells us in his word that there is something unique about sexual immorality. Doesn't say it's the unforgivable sin. It's not. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin. This is not an unforgivable sin, but it is a unique sin with unique consequences. And you need to realize God takes it very seriously. Tragically, there are whole segments of the church that treat sexual immorality as basically an unavoidable part of life, and even accept it among their clergy. So, you know, it's just, you know, that's what happens. Pastor has relations with various women in the church. Well, don't expect to see him in heaven, because God says in his word that people who live like that are not going to inherit his kingdom. They're not going to heaven. They may have a retirement plan as a pastor, but they're going to spend forever in hell unless they get saved. A saved person doesn't behave that way. And that's not negotiable. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Consider what Jesus did so that you could be his. So glorify God with your body. Your body doesn't belong to you. Your body belongs to God. So the question is, are you concerned about what pleases you, or are you concerned about what pleases him? Paul's writing to the Corinthians, but God's speaking to us. God is speaking to all of his people, all over the world, through all of history. Such were some of you. But you were bought. You've been washed and sanctified and justified by God. Now, his spirit lives in you. Your body is part of his body. You belong to him. Use what he's given you for him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.